Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Mary Crippa Show is underway on this Monday, October 25th, brought to you by Hilbing Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. Today is the last Monday of the month. We talked to Stephen Spears from Cornerstone. Drew Quintero is also here. We'll see what Drew has to add later in our broadcast. But Stephen, welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. And we're going to talk today a little bit about something I really enjoy, and that is the idea that play can be therapy. Tell us all about that, please.
Well, we were all kids once, I'm pretty sure. And one of the things we did was we played. And through the process of play, we learned to socialize and regulate ourselves. And as we grew up, we did more play. Play becomes more structured. We take turns. We develop like free play and things like that. And that's very beneficial and necessary for development of kiddos.
And when you say play, is it organized play or is it imaginative play that children do on their own?
It's all of that.
Get closer to your microphone,
okay,
by the way.
Coming in.
There you go. There you go.
It's kind of all that. We have, like, when we think of PE, we have very organized play. We have very structured play. Kickball is a great example. You have your turn, you're in outfield. Playing card games where each person takes a turn. It's very structured. And that's beneficial because in those games, we learn regulation. We learn we have to wait our turn. We learn we have to be patient. We have to respect the other person going before us and the person coming after us.
Apparently, you've never been to the second grade recess where I volunteer. But go on with the story.
Well, this is the ideal version,
the
right?
The idea is that we're learning these
this
things.
This is the coloring book version, okay? So then we have, like, just free play, where kids use their imagination, they run around and kind of be who they are. All this is really beneficial to kids because we take the structured play. And as kids grow up, we all know we're in a structured society. You have to follow rules, you have to do things, you have to be patient, you have to be regulated. You cannot, in your job, when your boss says, please wait outside the door, throw a fit and lay on the floor and kick and scream.
Yeah. Oh, really? When did they put that rule in?
Well, try it sometime, see how it goes.
I have.
Okay.
That's why I've not been promoted in 30 years at WTAD. But you're right. I mean, we are learning as children, and children know this too, who they can get by with that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a restaurant the other day, and I'm paying good money for my meal, and somebody's child is screaming and kicking, and the minute they got to do what they wanted, they weren't screaming and kicking and crying anymore. So wasn't it amazing? As soon as mom and dad gave in. Now, I wanted to say, if you'd like to take them out to the front of the building and have a talk with them, that might be better. But again, we're all learning what we can get away with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, games are a way to test boundaries too, you know, for kids and play. It's how we test those boundaries. I mean, that's what play is in a lot of aspects, especially when it's structured. Let's go back to our kickball example. You have a PE teacher, two PE teachers, and let's say, hey, I kicked the ball, I made it to first, but then, you know, I want to go to second, I want to go to third, and you just take off running. Well, that doesn't benefit the team, stuff like that. So then, you know, the coach is like, hey, back that up. We got to go back to first base. We can't do that. So you've set a boundary. So there's a lot of things going on when we play. Even when kids play alone, together, they're creating a social dynamic amongst themselves that they learn to respect and be a part of. Now, it sometimes fails because they're kids, but it's practice. They're practicing for the future. They're practicing to become adults. But the thing we adults forget is we need to play too. And an emerging part of therapy these days is play therapy for adults.
Like coloring?
Sometimes, yes. I've heard of therapists using that in sessions. Well, they'll just sit there and color in books.
Well, how does, you know, I think about play and I remember the old days because, boy, kids don't play like they used to. Not the same way. I mean, they play, but they don't play like they used to. We would get a wandering band of kids. It would start with kids just riding their bicycle around the neighborhood, drum enough kids to go up to the neighborhood park to play baseball. And then you'd choose sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you were really a gifted and talented athlete like me, you were always chosen last, but you had the chance next year you won't be last, or you might do something remarkable and they'll think you can actually play ball and you might get moved up in the batting order or whatever. Games like that, I don't think kids play games like that, do they, anymore? Because they're competing with each other on their little devices.
I think that's a struggle for every parent these days, is screen time, play, like you said, electronic play. There's a difference. Because when you play...
Because when I play Tetris, all I'm trying to do is beat myself. But
that is true.
Yeah.
It's true. But when you also think of games these days, we have these like interactive shooter games, like first-person shooters, survival games, all this stuff, Fortnite, Rust, all these games, where you're actually on a team or engaging live people on the other side of your microphone and headset. You don't learn to read social cues. You don't learn to kind of co-regulate each other. It can be very isolating. And it's also, I don't think it's very instructive when it comes to learning to co-regulate with another person. So you have the difference of sitting in front of a screen for 3 to 4 hours versus like you're talking about the old days, the good old days, when you would walk down the street and get a pickup game going and play with everybody, a lot of physical exercise, co-regulation, practice, socializing. That's not really there with the electronic stuff. So we miss that. So it is, you know, from my perspective, just my anecdotal evidence is that I see that there's not a lot of that stuff going on much
so
anymore.
So limit some screen time. It's not that you can't play Fortnite. It's just don't have that be the only social interaction your kids have. We also have multiple activities. For example, there's, you know, soccer leagues and football leagues and all kinds of youth leagues that girls and boys can be involved in through the Y or through the Park District or whatever, a private organization. That is structured play. Can that be healthy for a child, or can that also be overwhelming for a kid? Because, they got to go to all these practices, they have to do this, and maybe mom and dad think soccer's the best thing in the world, but they can't stand it, or they're no good at it, and they're just being forced to be reminded every week that they are the weakest link.
Well, it depends on the kid and depends on the parents. You know, the parents are the ultimate say when those things happen. But it's good to observe your kid. I mean, if you're throwing your kids in a lot of athletics and different extracurricular activities and you see your child sort of withdrawing, becoming agitated, irritated, it's good to sit down and have a conversation with them and say, how are you feeling about this? You know, find out if they're being overloaded. And if they tell you, yeah, I'm being overloaded, then reevaluate that. See what you can do best for your kiddo. Those things are great. Organized sports are great because I was a very shy kid when I was young. In fifth grade, basketball tryouts came. I was petrified, very shy, introverted. And so my brother went, I got to go too. I got to do what my brother did. So I got into basketball, and that really helped me come out of my shell to interact with people, to learn to socialize because I lived in a small town of 20 people. Not a lot of people to hang out with and do things with. So it was very much a benefit. Now, for me, if I'd have been in basketball, baseball, track, and everything under the sun, it probably wouldn't have done me as much good.
So sometimes pick one lane, maybe the one that your kid's good at, and kind of stick with that lane and whatever that lane is, because they may be great at chess. It doesn't really matter. We think of sports, but there's theater, there's intellectual pursuits like chess, there's all kinds of things. There are even video games that are, interactive. But just limit that screen time and maybe once in a while just say, hey, as a family, let's get together and make up a game and let's go out and play together and maybe we'll get the neighbors involved. Or you kids walk around the neighborhood and see who you can find. I don't see children anymore. When I was a kid, we were thick as thieves. Well, for one thing, a lot of us didn't have air conditioning. So there wasn't any, there wasn't any big thing to stay in the house. Now, I'm really old, much older than you two are.
I didn't have air conditioning either.
But, sitting in the house was not a benefit. Getting out under a shade tree was a benefit. So we would play all kinds of, games. And it seems to me that we're somewhat losing that imagination. But, of course, I'm not around. I'm still around small kids. Because every week I'm in the second grade volunteering, and they still have very vivid imaginations, but it's just not about the stuff I used to imagine. So I guess everything's okay. It's just there's different things to imagine about. But that imagination is good for kids, and it's also good for adults. So how do you get adults, when you talk about mental health with Cornerstone, how do you get adults playing together or playing whatever and having their imagination stretched? Because, this job is not highly imaginative sometimes. It's very formatted. I have to push a button here, push a button there, push a button here. And then we have segments where it's free form, but we still have to have some planning. So how do you get more imaginative play, more spontaneous play when you're an adult?
Well, if you have kids, that's where your kids can become your teacher. Sit, I just, you know, I envision this thing where, you know, kids are still in the imagination phase, right? Just like you said.
Where you're walking on the couch because the floor is boiling lava.
Right, hot lava.
And your mother's freaking out because you're walking on the couch with your shoes, which are filthy, but you can't get off the couch, Mom, because then we'll fall into the boiling lava.
So I would say to Mom, take your shoes off and get out the lava. Get out of the lava. You're going to burn yourself, Mom. Come on. One of the things you do, the great things about kids, is that you can play with them. They love that stuff. Kids love to be played with adults. And just the act of sitting down and drawing with a kid, a big box of crayons. I remember as a kid, we had this big box of crayons. They were broke. The paper was ripped off. We love that stuff. And kids love for parents just to sit there and do it with them. Coloring books, as you mentioned earlier, interactive with the kids, playing their games. Remember the tea parties? And you sometimes see the dad with the tiara on.
Oh, yeah.
Having a little sip of tea. Good governor. I would have some tea and crumpets, you know. That's where the engagement is. That's where you can play again. Now, adults, we forget that we were kids. And that we still do have imagination.
Well, Stephen, I'd like to see you and Drew do Disney Princess Tea Party. That would be play, imaginative play.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Which one would you be, Drew?
Clearly, I am Cinderella.
Oh, clearly. I'm sorry. And Stephen, you?
I would have to be Snow White because I'm just still a little shy.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I'd be the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
I'm quite a siren. Okay.
Yeah, you are.
So get involved with the children and relearn from them some of their coping mechanisms. Because I remember one time my mother babysat for her little nieces and nephews, and she went upstairs because she was a little bit worried. Where is the three-year-old? And she said, what are you doing up here? He said, I'm playing by myself. And she said, do you want to come down and play with the other kids? No, it's time for me to use my imagination. That's what he said. She's like, okay, you're too smart. I'm going downstairs. But they kind of know. Don't they? Don't kids kind of know when they need to use their imagination and get away?
Well, you watch a kiddo sometimes. Watch them when they do things. If there's no electronics or anything around, they will start inventing. And that's the imagination when they start inventing games. You know, when I work with kids, I'll oftentimes I'll use non-directive play. I'll have cards. I'll have all these things and a giant set of checkers. Now, have you played checkers, Drew?
I tried once. It did not end well.
Checkers. Okay, we'll stay away from chess. We all have this preconceived notion as adults, this is how we play chess. Put the pieces down, we play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you put that in front of a kiddo and just let their imagination do stuff, they'll be very inventive.
Right. The red and the black, they make stacks, tall stacks of every other one.
How tall can you go?
Right. They don't know that the game checkers has rules. But if they don't know that and they've never seen it, it becomes to them, what do I do with all these different pieces?
Mm-hmm. And then the greatest part of all this is when they invite you into their world. Because you're sitting there, okay, no, you got to put the pieces on the black squares, dude. Come on. And then come play with me. Let's see how. And they want you to engage in the stacking or however they're using the pieces. And then they invite you into their world. And then you're in. And then you get this sense of kind of going back, engaging your imagination, letting them guide you through that imaginative process. So that's what kids can do for adults. Like as much as we do for kids, you know, number one, you know, structure, support, health, safety, all those wonderful things. But we're also missing that, I think, that element sometimes of, like you're saying, the imagination and play. Now, play can be anything. It can be anything. It can be digging up dirt in a yard. That's play for a kid. I mean, I did that as a kid. It was great fun, hours of fun, just digging holes in the yard. Mom didn't care for it. She didn't share my imaginative process. Her imaginative process was put the whole dirt back in the hole. But I had such a great time, you know.
I do. It's bringing back such wonderful memories of me playing with my with the nieces and nephews that my parents babysat for, because pitching a baseball, you know, and having the kid hit it with either a wiffle ball or then with a bat when they get a little bit older. And so obviously you're just going to pitch underhand to this kid so that they can have a chance. So, but you know, there's a curveball and a knuckleball and a slider and a fastball. Well, all you have to do is say, now it's time for my fastball, and move your hand a different way. And I used to always tell little Daniel that he couldn't hit my knuckleball. No matter how hard he tried, he could never hit my knuckleball. And I rolled my hand around three times and did it three times backwards and then threw it the same way I always did. And sure enough, he never could hit my knuckleball. It was always too hard for him. And he was so proud when he finally could hit the knuckleball. So these things, this also could be true in the workplace too. I think sometimes You know, we haven't had COVID Christmas parties. We haven't had holiday parties. We haven't had get-togethers a lot. Are adults starved for play? Are adults starved to get together in groups and just, and I don't just mean stand and have a cocktail and an hors d'oeuvre. I mean to really play with each other. And what would you suggest?
Well, I think we, all of us as adults, myself included, we need to step back and realize really what's important. Okay, we've gone through COVID. A lot of folks have isolated. We're seeing the effects of that. Play is socialization. It's socializing. It's developing relationships, building, strengthening relationships. So we've had that kind of taken away from us. So now as we go back into that, we need to do things that we can rekindle those relationships and strengthen those bonds. And, you know, and anything can do that. Any kind of play can do that. Sitting down, I never knew Uno was the most expressive game for people in general. This, I never knew this, okay? I'm 50 years old. I never knew. And now I'm just, my eyes are open. Uno is the key to life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also screaming, yelling, and holding grudges forever.
Yes, that's part of it. But you roll with it, right? But anything like that, I mean, just a simple card game like that where you have to interact. The old board game, Sorry.
Sorry. You took my little green man. As so in Mama's Family, a great episode where Eunice and the whole family are playing Sorry, and they ring the bell, Sorry, you took my little green man, and they're all mad at each other. But you're right, chutes and ladders, you know, anything. And again, you play these with kids, turn them into adult games too. Play with some of your adult friends. Today we're getting together for cards. We always do every Monday, and you know, it's amazing. I mean, the first half hour is just pure gossip and catching up, and then we actually get down to cards, and I never win. And by the end of the day, I'm glad these women are leaving because I'm really mad that I can't win this game of cards. But in the beginning, it's all good.
It's great in the beginning because you're socially, you're talking, you're chatting, gossiping a bit. You're developing those relationships. Unfortunately, you lose.
Unfortunately,
and
when skill comes into it, it's out the window. So it's bad for me. Stephen Spears, thank you so very much for stopping by. Every month, Cornerstone comes by. Drew Quintero brings me a special guest. Drew, tell us a little bit about Cornerstone, how we can support your mission, and what you do for people.
But Cornerstone provides mental health therapy to families, individuals, adults, children. We have some special programs for our at-risk population, youth, new and expectant mothers, families who are going through the adoption process, who have adopted children and are in that transitional phase. We provide skills, support, and hope to those who need it most, and we want to make sure that you are leading the most effective, fulfilling life that you can. And you can always visit our website, cornerstone-quincy.org, or give us a call at 228-8254, and we are happy to talk with you, get you in with someone if you are experiencing a little hiccup in the game of life, or if larger things are going on. Therapy is an amazing thing. I believe everybody should go to therapy. You will find things out about yourself, out about your life. Even if it's just a small little, like I said, hiccup, you know, we will give you those skills to help you through that. And in case that hiccup happens again, you'll have those tools in your back pocket.
And thank you, Stephen Spears, because tomorrow WTAD is going to do a story on the fact that there's a severe shortage of mental health workers. I thank you. And I think anybody out there listening, if you're getting ready to graduate from college or wondering what you want to do with your life, this guy plays checkers for a living. So, you know, you do have to get probably a master's degree before you can actually play checkers with other people. But it's a worthwhile cause, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Uno and checkers.
Uno and checkers. I mean, and coloring. Coloring books, drawing.
Why didn't I know about this when I was choosing?
Exactly. You know, they never pitched this when I went in, though. For me, I was in a different profession before I got into counseling, and it was like I needed to do something different, and then I got into it, and I've loved it ever since. I have no regrets, and it's
amazing.
I
know a girl who was in counseling, and her workload was too heavy, and she ended up quitting because her workload was too heavy. Now, isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. She went all those years to school. She became a counselor. She was working at a local mental health agency, and they started her off with, like, you know, I don't know, 9 clients. Eventually, she had, like, 17 clients. She's like, I can't possibly do this. And so instead of cutting back her workload and saying, we'd rather have you do 12 clients than you do none, she ended up quitting, and, you know, it's crazy. So if you're thinking about a mental health career, please pursue it. We need those people.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
42, 35, 30. 26, 21. Oh, did you think that was supposed to be a countdown?
It's not.
This.
We're back at Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Curtis Seffler is here, and we're going to talk about Young Life. And they're having a party because, as Curtis says, relationships and building things are great, and you love to get together and have a good time. And so this is a way for some adults in our community to get together and dress up like the Roaring Twenties. My husband will be there, I'm sure, as Al Capone, his favorite character.
Perfect.
Not very good role model, but his favorite character. And a great way for adults to get together, have a great night out, and support Young Life. And so let's talk about what Young Life is and what it's not.
Yeah, so Young Life is a faith-based organization. We are global, which is something a lot of people don't know. If you do know Young Life in Quincy, the misconception is that it's like a one-off thing that we do here and that we're actually run by another organization. So Young Life is actually a freestanding entity, has been since 1941 when it was started in Gainesville, Texas, and as I said, is a global organization with just multiple ministries, but also just several other points of impact also, from junior high to college age and beyond.
But you take mentors who are willing, and you train them, and you just basically say, look, you just need to have a relationship with this child. This child, whomever, girl, boy, age groups are different.
Yeah.
You pair people with others who need help, and then you get together in groups sometimes too, and talk about, you know, your way of solving problems includes a Christian way of life.
Yeah.
You know, what would Jesus do?
Right.
Or what does he say, at least?
Yeah.
You know, what would he do? What does he say? And how can I follow that just so I am still legal but still have some fun in my life? Because I think Jesus was probably a riot. We don't hear about him before 30 because he was probably out partying all the time, you know?
I think that's a great part of the conversation.
Yeah,
it's like as soon as
a carpenter's, you know, up 9 to 5, I got my woodworking done, now I'm going to go out and sit around and, you know, have great deep conversations with my friends.
And that's one of the things when we ask kids is like, hey, what do you think about Jesus? And it's like rules and it's no fun. And it's like, well, if I do this, my life's going to suck. And that's absolutely not the case. And we don't talk about like the fun part of relationships, because I think, and especially like a relationship with Christ, because I think a lot of how it's presented to kids, and specifically within the church context, I think how we, you know, present things,
rules,
that it's very much, it's dry. It's
thou
not relational.
Thou shalt not.
And there's nothing wrong with King James, but it comes across like that with the thou shalt, and kids are like, I can't read that because they're busy with...
I don't say thy and thou, so please try not to use it on me. But you're right. But, you know, one great way to explain it to kids, you know, is plain to me as a teenager, the rules are there to kind of keep you on the right path, but there's also a lot of things like you should do this, you should do that. The more you do that's good, the better. And also, when you follow these rules, that's what keeps you safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's what keeps you on that path. And the farther you get off that path, we all know this when we're driving around and we get lost.
Right.
Okay, so I turn down and I don't go 90 degrees off, I just go 5 degrees off. And the next thing you know, 10 miles down the road, I'm really far away from where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get back. And of course, I was having fun all this way.
Right.
And then something happened because of my misbehavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, wish I hadn't done that. That's a good learning tool.
Yeah.
But now how am I going to get back on the path?
And
GPS doesn't work.
Yeah, the misconception also is that, like, no rules equal freedom, and that's absolutely not true, because when you're not focused in any one area, like, it's impossible to grow, and it's impossible to actually experience true freedom. We actually find freedom within our limits, because then we know where to go and what to focus on. And for somebody
sure you're
like...
you're not a Catholic nun?
Well, and for somebody like... No, pretty sure.
Pretty sure you're not a Catholic nun?
I got a black coat on, but...
But you're talking about freedom, it's true. Freedom is... The rules give you freedom because, you know, you have all the freedom within that parameter to.
Yeah. And I think when you throw rules out, that's where people like really cringe. And for me, it's just talking limitations. And I'm someone who doesn't like limitations because I want to believe I can truly do anything, but I can't. And it's understanding like those limits and the processes within that that actually do give me freedom. And for us, like at Young Life as an organization, like it's really easy to think, okay, we need to reach this kid and this kid and this kid and this kid and this kid. And we want to, but it's like, how do we do that strategically? And how do we do that in a way that stays within our mission, reaching kids? You know, our mission statement is introducing adolescents to Jesus and helping them grow in their faith. But ultimately, that's a personal decision for them. You know, we present that and we live a life that is, you know, glorifying to God and building relationships because we have a God who came to do life with us. You know, that's what we believe, you know, in the Christian faith is that God left heaven and came here to do life with us. So we show up in kids' lives.
And when they ask the question of, like, why do you keep coming to my ball games? Why do you buy me dinner? Why do you hang out with me and my friends? You know, a couple of years ago, I was taking a group of freshman boys out, you know, once a month, and we just grabbed dinner. And it was just hanging out with those kids and doing life with them. And some of those kids are my best friends still, even though they're out of school now. And it's really cool to see those relationships, how they develop and grow, and those kids that wonder why do you keep doing this? Like, why do you spend so much money on, like, buying me food and hanging out? But when you see those kids years down the road, you know, adopting a life of faith, that's their decision because they saw it lived out in a relational way that was real. It wasn't the these and thous. It was like, dude, my parents are, like, divorcing and my life is a mess right now. Like,
I don't have words
to tell you how to deal with that, but, man, I'm here. If you want to talk, if you want to hang out, like, I'm here for you. Do you want to go to the gym? Do you want to shoot baskets? Do you just want to grab coffee and just, like, talk through it?
You know, I got so many things to ask him when I get up to heaven, if I ever get there. But one of the things is, you know, in your teenage years, that's when we're the most troubled. Why didn't you have one of your friends write a gospel about that? That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been interesting. But anyway, let's get on to the Night of the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah.
Friday, November 12th at the venue.
Yeah,
124
right
North 5th, a new venue, the venue. And tickets are $40 per person. And what are they going to get for their $40?
So the whole night is just themed around a party.
Because the Roaring Twenties were nothing but a party.
And we're hoping we get to that in these Roaring Twenties also. So we're kind of hoping this is the kickoff for that. Maybe a little bit back to whatever the new normal is going to be. But what in Young Life, you know, we've really looked at COVID. I mean, it's been detrimental in a lot of ways to a lot of lives. I mean, you can't overstate the impact. It's impossible to quantify. But within that, it was also the opportunity for us to really take a step back and reflect on, hey, what do we do really, really well? And what is just stuff we're trying to do and maybe not doing as well that we're wasting energy and effort on? And that's not to say that anything's bad, but one of the things that we really realized in talking with our donors and with our kids is that we do parties and we do relationships really well. So as we're looking towards a fall event, like we're like, well, let's just throw a party and build some relationships and have some fun while we're doing this and get to what we do. So for the $40, you get a DJ, dinner, hors d'oeuvres. We're going to have drinks there. It's going to be just hopefully a wild time. There will be an ask at the event. This is a fundraiser. There'll be silent auction stuff too. So it's just kind of an all-inclusive party. We're encouraging people to grab dinner downtown. We're not going to do dinner at this. But grab dinner at downtown at one of our, you know, local restaurants. Support local business. Support Quincy. Quincy supports us.
And then so get there at 7, and from 7 to 11 on November 12th, it's a party.
Yep. So
it's a party.
You soft start at 7. You can arrive anytime, whatever your dinner works out. I will
and
be like...
themed apparel is optional, but we'd love to see some
highly
zoot
encouraged.
Suits.
So
you've got to call. I'll give you the number. I mean,
we'll do that.
Oh, they've got zoot suits for every size and occasion.
And we'll do if best you, dress too at 10 o'clock. So.
If you need more information, you can call Jill Ruxlow at 217-223-5470. That's 223-5470. Curtis, always great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, Quincy University. We're back at Talk Radio 930 WTAD, Quincy University, a major player in our community. And, of course, we need more people in the medical field. And that's why Debbie Giesing is here today. She's with Blessing Riemann College of Nursing. And they are teaming up with Quincy University for a College of Health Sciences visit day Friday, November 5th. What are you hoping to accomplish by this, Debbie Giesing? Obviously, you want to get people knowing that Quincy University and Blessing are partners in this endeavor.
Absolutely. So we've been partners for a long time, and we want to encourage anyone that is interested in nursing. We need lots of people in the healthcare field right now, and anybody that's interested in respiratory care, radiology, to come visit us that day, see what it's all about.
Yeah, there's so many different professions. I mean, there's even a profession to sterilize the medical instruments. There are people who set up testing. You know, you can work in an eye doctor's office and learn how to do that specific testing. The sky's the limit because as we age, not that any of us in this room are getting older, but we're going to need even more people to help take care of us.
Well, and that's what I try to tell students. Us baby boomers are their future. So there's a lot of the older baby boomers that are retiring. So all those spots are going to be open. And then us younger ones are going to live longer, which means we need more health care. So we need all the people we can get in the medical field.
How hard is it to attract? I mean, you're having this Discovery Day on Friday, November 5th. You're going to do everything you can to really show them what it's like to be in the medical field, especially nursing, but you'll talk about other allied professions too. You know, obviously we want them to call and be part of this because the best way to know what kind of education is necessary and what kind of skills are necessary is to come to this Discovery Day.
So we always encourage students, if you think that you're interested in some kind of profession, whether it be the medical field or any field, try to get on those campuses, live that life, see, get all the information you can, meet the professors, meet students in those professions, and that education, and see if that's really what you want to do. It's a great time to experience both schools, to get on the Quincy University campus and then get on the Blessing Riemann campus.
And schools are different. I mean, some people say, well, I want to go and live in, you know, San Francisco for some reason. But you may not like nursing school there. So you really have to pick that nursing school. Why QU and Blessing Riemann? What big plug would you give for them?
Well, one of our biggest attributes is our personal attention. So we get to know each student, give them all the personal attention, and they're very important to us. One of the other things would be our simulation center. So for a school our size, it's very unusual to have a simulation center like we do. It's a million-dollar facility. We have 9 simulators all the way from a preemie baby to a birthing mother. They talk, they blink, they have pulses. Their eyes dilate. So it's a great hands-on experience for anyone that's wanting to get into that field.
So you don't have to go to a big major city to have that high-quality nursing education here.
Actually, our simulation center I would put up against any of the other schools.
Okay.
So we have a great, great facility for students to learn on.
Let's talk about the ambiance, the connective, the synergy between Quincy University and Blessing Riemann. When people go to Blessing Riemann, are they enrolled then at QU, or how does that work?
They are. So they actually apply online to Quincy University. Once they fill out that application, put whatever field they want to go into, then that triggers the application to come to us for Blessing Riemann. The freshman year, they take all their classes, prereqs, start their gen eds at Quincy University. And then sophomore year, they start their nursing or health sciences classes and clinicals.
Okay, so in the same town, but just changing campuses, and of course, Blessing has their simulation center, and you're all over the place now. We are also very fortunate to have here Brittany Weiss. And Brittany, not only for health sciences on Friday, November 5th, but you've also got just a general Discovery Day for kids who are like, I don't know where I want to go to college. I wonder what QU has to offer me. Tell us about that.
Yes, so it is Saturday, November 13th, starts about 9 o'clock. Registration begins about 8:30. But I love, it truly is a discovery day. Come and make sure that you leave no stone unturned. Make us work that day. Ask the pertinent questions. But in addition to just viewing Quincy University and taking our campus tour, my favorite part is the academic expo. So if a student is unsure what they want to major in, our faculty and staff are there to talk about each one of our schools and each one of our departments to give more info.
So you can learn a lot. Now, if we want to register for these days, how do we get into the Health Services Day or the General Discovery Day?
Both are at Quincy University's website, so quincy.edu/visit. You can sign up for both online, or you can call Tammy Dusterhouse, our visit coordinator. Her number is 217-228-5301.
And you encourage local people and people who are not listening now to this, anybody from anywhere can come to these days.
Yes, all high school students as well. It doesn't have to just be seniors in high school or transfer students. They can be freshmen through junior year as well. Start that process early.
The earlier you start, the more scholarships are available.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry we didn't have much time, but I look forward to talking to you again, and good luck with your Discovery Days.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you.